Good morning. We're calling to order this Wednesday, August 26, 2015 variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Ava Atahara Taylor, who's the executive secretary at the controls for the hearing today. I'd like to begin with some general information about this hearing and the process. First, the order of presentation. The applicant and or owners will be provided 5 minutes to present oral arguments as to how the five findings necessary to justify granting a variance have been met. The applicant should also submit their declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. If there is any public testimony in opposition to the project, then the project sponsor will be given a three-minute rebuttal. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the applicant and or members of the public, and at the end of the hearing, may make a decision today, continue it to a later date, or take it under advisement. Items on the consent calendar are matters that are considered routine. If anyone would like to speak on one of these items, please step forward. Otherwise, they'll be granted. There are three on the consent calendar today. One actually will need to be continued because of a notification issue, and we will be adding one case, item number 10, to the consent calendar, but more on that in a minute. There's general public comment at the end of the hearing if someone would like to speak on an item that's not on the agenda today. Now, criteria for justifying a variance under Planning Code Section 305C. States that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following five findings. Finding number one, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number two, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or a necessary hardship not created by or attributable to the owner of the property. Finding number three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number four, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number five, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. Due to current backlogs, decision letters may take up to 2 months to issue after the date of this hearing. If anyone would like a copy of the decision letter, please sign in on the sign-in sheets on the far wall. That's also very important because it is the decision letter itself, which is the appealable document. It may be appealed within 10 days of issuance to the Board of Appeals. Other items, private conversations can be disruptive during the hearing. While we do encourage parties to meet and discuss these projects, we would request that be done outside of the hearing chambers. The next hearing is scheduled for Wednesday, September 23rd, 2015, and audio recordings of these hearings are available on our website as a link on the agenda. As I noted previously, we have three items on the consent calendar. Due to a notification issue, item number two for 1036 Polk Street will be continued to September 23rd, and we will be adding item number 10 for 1400 Montgomery Street. And so now we'll read those into the record.
So we still have three items in our consent calendar. Item number one, case number 2015-006112VAR. 2138 Jones Street, exposure and usable open space variances sought. Item number three, case number 2015-007348VAR, 33 Dearborn Street, open space variance sought. And also item number 10, case number 2015-002252VAR, 1400 Montgomery Street, permitted obstruction variance sought.
Is there any public comment on any of these items? It's item number one for 2138 Jones Street, item number three for 33 Dearborn Street, and item number 10 for 1400 Montgomery Street. Is this for 33 Dearborn? Thank you. Yes, I know that some comments did come in yesterday, so we will take item number three for 33 Dearborn off the consent calendar. Is there any public comment for items number one for Jones Street or item number 10 for Montgomery? Seeing no public comment on those two items are granted under the consent. The public hearing is closed. Also be continuing item number two, 1036 Polk Street, to September 23rd, and we can begin the regular calendar with item number three.
Item number three, case number 2015-007348 VAR, 33 Dearborn Street, open space, variance sought. Is the sponsor of this project here?
Yes.
Will you please approach the mic? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Hello, my name is Jorge Carbonell. I am the architect for the project. I'm here with the project sponsor, Paul Clevinger. This project is to add three new dwelling units in a building that's RTOM. The three dwelling units will be replacing existing storage and parking space. We're going to be eliminating two parking spaces and creating three new dwelling units. As a result, we're also going to be adding on-street parking, two new parking spaces right on the street. The open space variance is because right now we have a limited rear yard space. It is a very usable rear space. We are very close to meeting our required open space requirement for the total of seven units. These additional three units will be small units, will be one-bedroom studio types. We should have a pretty lower number of occupants within them. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Item number three for 33 Dearborn. So you can step up in any order that you like, and you'll be given 3 minutes each to speak.
Hi, thanks for making the time. My name is Hans Hull. I'm the resident and owner of 2529 Dearborn, which adjoins this project. A couple concerns that I just wanted to share. The first one is just to give a little context. We live on a small, crowded one-way alley in the Mission. My concern is that this project is going to have just an overall negative impact on quality of life on the street. The building already doesn't comply with the open space requirements, and I think the proposed changes are going to amplify rather than alleviate the issues, both in terms of the building and in terms of the neighborhood. I actually don't agree that there's space to have two full parking spaces. I think at best it's one, but at the moment, typically either multiple motorcycles or one car will park in front of those two garages. So I think it is a net minus of two parking spaces with the addition of, you know, up to six new residents. I think it's going to have an impact on parking. The other thing I'd note is that there's already a small backyard, and I think the proposed changes are going to effectively make it smaller. There's, I think, at least 10 bikes that park in the building at the moment that are going to be replaced by three plus three new units because it's very much of a biking-type neighborhood, so I would anticipate that the residents are going to be biking. I think that's going to be pushed in the backyard along with the trash cans because I think the project doesn't provide sufficient provisions for the density increase that's being considered. So, you know, while I love the idea generally of adding additional housing to the city, I think we all understand that we need it. I think there's some more thought that needs to be put into this project about how to compensate for those density concerns. The other thing is I think it is worth taking a look at just the environmental impact this might have, both in terms of the permeability and in terms of the parking. Those would be concerns that I have. And I guess the last thing I would note is that I think the project sponsor did sort of comply with the required communication forums, but I was actually absent during sort of the one community meeting, and there wasn't any sort of reach out to me, so we didn't have actual communication. I'd be happy to have a discussion with the sponsor about sort of, you know, how we might find a nice middle ground that's going to work in the neighborhood. Sort of in follow-up, but I think to date that, you know, actual communication as opposed to sort of formal compliance hasn't happened.
Thank you. Just to be clear, parking is not a requirement for this district, but what I do hear some concerns in related to this variance, which is for open space variance, are concerns about kind of displacing the trash area and the parking, and you think that maybe there could be some modifications made to the project that would allow additional units but better kind of
compensate for that.
Yeah, and I think just sort of generally speaking, I think adding, you know, up to six people into what is already sort of a relatively crowded space, I don't know how they sort of effectively use that backyard. I think it's sort of I don't sort of see how that works. You know, these are, you know, the entire street is all sort of four-unit buildings. Now, if we're going to have sort of a general plan to sort of replace it with sevens and eights, that would, I think, be different. But I think this would sort of set a precedent to sort of start making changes on the street, which would be significant.
Okay. Thanks. The next member of the public, please.
Hi, good morning. I'm Melissa Darr, and I live at 37 Dearborn Street, and I agree with everything that Hans said. Dearborn is not Valencia Street. It's not Mission Street. And so Dearborn is as Hans says, there are two-unit and four-unit and single houses on that street. So this effectively sort of changes the character of our neighborhood, and we have sort of the backyards are what makes us a family neighborhood. People have kids. The idea of having a smaller backyard with storage units, what I hear is that the storage could be replaced by portable storage units in the backyard. So it's already a small yard, and the garbage area is so small, I'm thinking the garbage pails are going to end up in the back. And so it just changes our street. We need family housing in San Francisco. Do we need three studio apartments? It's a different kind of question to us. So I think it really affects our neighborhood. People have been living there for 20, 30 years like myself. And so to sort of start changing the neighborhood in that way makes a big change.
Okay. Thank you. Any other public comment?
Hi there. My name's Hunter. I actually live in the building being discussed. My biggest concern is going to be the loss of bicycle parking and the effect that that's going to have to push additional storage out into the backyard. As a four-unit building, we already consume all of the bicycle parking. There's a lot of active cyclists living in the building. We have, you know, city bikes for getting around town. We have weekend bikes for getting on the road. Cutting a seven-unit building down to three bicycle parking spots is not realistic. Removing storage is not realistic. It's been indicated that the plan is to replace that storage and bicycle parking with sheds in the backyard. So that's going to further erode the, however, 720-something feet existing now is going to be further consumed by storage sheds. So that's going to push it down to 600-something effective feet. I didn't do the math, but... So I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned about the vehicle. They're large parking garages now. They each take up to two cars or, in some cases, four motorcycles. So taking, you know, multiple vehicle garages and replacing them with maybe two spots on the street is going to further impact a crowded alley. And, you know, additionally, making room in the backyard for those storage sheds. It could involve cutting down trees, a nice lemon tree, a nice shade tree now to make room for that might be an issue. I think there's a way to work. I mean, the city created a rule for open space for a reason, and I think I invite the owners to work within the laws and the regulations that the city has put in place because I think they're fair and they're for a reason, but I don't think we need to start allowing, you know, loopholes, or not loopholes, but variances to cram several more units in, remove vehicle parking, remove bicycle parking, remove storage, and possibly replace all that by using more of the open space that we're already here to discuss the insufficiency of. So it's going to dramatically impact the livability of the building. And, you know, I think judging by the fact that we have three adjoining properties here today to talk about that same thing, it's kind of a consensus on the block that this specific plan may not be the best way to accomplish what's being set out to do. I think some major concerns.
Thank you. So just to clarify, so you noted that there are some trees in the rear yard, because those don't appear on the plans, but there are, you said there's a lemon tree here.
There's a lemon tree and a nice large shade tree. Two nice big trees in the backyard that add a lot of shade and character. And, you know, lemons, I mean, it's a big quality of life. And I don't know how we're going to, you know, make room for, you know, the owner said that the storage would be inside would be replaced with storage units outside, and I don't know how we'd find room for that without cutting down trees. So that's an additional concern that adds a lot of character to the backyards in the neighborhood.
Okay, thank you. And in terms of the existing use of that ground floor, the two garages and the two storage units, so
and bicycle parking.
And so is the bicycle parking in the storage unit?
It's its own storage unit, and it has room for up to 10 bicycles in there, which are all used with only 4 units. I don't know how we're going to go up to 7 units and down to 3 bike parking, especially given the kind of neighborhood and the kind of tenants and the initiatives the city has and the interest in bicycle usage.
And then the two garages, one has an automobile and the other has...
One has 2 automobiles and the other has, I think, maybe 4 motorcycles in it. I hear the Harley every morning, but I don't know about the other ones, so...
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment on this item on 33 Dearborn Street?
Hi, my name is Mary Kahn, and I'm a property owner 2 doors down from the project. And I'd just like to say that I am in support of what I've heard from the other owners that are next door. I think it'll have an impact on the character of our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this item on 33 Dearborn? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal. Oh, you have a 3-minute rebuttal? No, nothing further to add.
Hi, Jorge Carbonell again. I just want to mention that this is an issue of parking versus dwelling units. We're meeting the purpose of the RTOM, and we're creating 3 new good housing units here. As part of this project, no tenants are going to be displaced. We are going to be proactive and transparent with the tenants in coordinating the schedule of construction and on developing contingency plans if anything happens during construction that they should be aware of. I also want to bring up that although we had a pre-application meeting at the site prior to the and I communicated the plans to the neighbors and they had my contact information. Prior to this hearing, none of the neighbors that have or tenants that showed up here have approached me with any of these concerns, and they really have not given us a chance to answer some of these questions before. So as part of the just addressing briefly some of the issues, the main issue I want to talk about is the trees in the back. We can develop a landscape plan that will incorporate existing trees and still meet some of the new requirements that some of the new program needs for the backyard. And this is something that we can include the tenants in the design of this landscape plan to make sure that they're part of the design process. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So are you saying you would retain the 2 existing trees that are in the rear yard?
Excuse me.
Or are you saying that you will retain the 2 existing trees that are in the yard?
That is definitely our intention.
Okay.
And as part of any design landscape plan, we're going to have a discussion with the tenants about it before moving forward.
And what about the kind of discussion about the storage shed in the rear yard? Is that part of your project?
This is the first time I hear of it here in this hearing. I don't know if the tenants might have had a discussion with the owner that I wasn't a part of.
Okay.
But this is something also that we can discuss later on.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
So we'll close the public hearing on this item. I'm generally supportive of adding additional dwelling units, and I think that adding dwelling units while removing automobile parking is something that is consistent with the RTO and zoning district. That said, I think that the neighbors and that the tenant of the building have raised some good concerns about kind of the loss of the bicycle parking, and maybe there are kind of better, more thoughtful ways to lay out the ground story here. So at this point, I take the matter under advisement. I would like the project sponsor to have further discussion with the tenant and the neighbors of the building to hear their concerns, to try to address those concerns and to look at alternatives that would provide, I think, additional quality bike parking spaces and ensure that there's sufficient trash capacity as well. I think that it is already a limited rear yard, and kind of further cluttering the rear yard could be problematic. So we'd want them to look at ways of incorporating those changes. And it seems like there's ways to make that happen. I mean, hopefully you can still get the three units, but if not, you know, you could at least still add two units and maintain improved storage. So with that, again, public hearing is closed. Take a matter under advisement. You know, if you can discuss this within the next week or two with the neighbors and report back to the staff planner on this item as well, Sean Mendrin. Thank you.
Moving to item number four, case number 2014-002069-VAR, 102 Baker Street, rear yard variance sought. You're the project sponsor. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Yes. Here's the...
Thank you.
This is 102 Baker, which is an existing... two-unit building that previously was three units, but the top-level unit was taken out of service in 2005 for not complying with code. So the scope of this project is to restore this unit and as well as the other units and add a parking garage for three cars on the ground floor. This is the existing rear view of the building with the existing rear exit system that was original to the building and provides exit to the second and third floor. However, the fourth floor with the non-compliant unit exists has no exit. In fact, it's an occupied space above the stair. And it's a side view of the stair system with the solid walls and the top enclosed space. Site plan of the project. The proposal is to remove the existing non-conforming stair structure and build a new structure within the same footprint that provides the required 7-Eleven stair risers in access to all levels, including the top floor. There's also a proposal to add a open space, private open space, to the top level, which currently has none, and is fairly far from the rear yard, four stories down. The actual current stair system actually has some small decks, including one on the third floor right here, that will be eliminated because it takes the space required for the new stair. This rear elevation of a new stair system, the side walls will be removed and the stair will be a much more open structure, which will allow more light and air to the property and as well as the adjoining neighbors. This is a side view of the same stair, showing the open rail system in the deck at the top level. This is a view of the adjoining neighbor to the south, just to show that there are existing decks and stair systems that this property does not really enjoy and would be provided if the variance is approved. Thank you.
Thank you. And just to clarify, too, you've discussed the project with the building department, and they don't see a need for a firewall on the exit stairs?
No, the exit stair is actually more than 5 feet away from the property lines.
Okay.
So it complies.
Great. And I understand the Section 311 notice has expired. There was a discretionary review filed,
yes,
I believe, by a tenant of the building.
Right.
And it's my understanding from staff that they do not oppose the variance itself, but have
other
concerns.
That's correct. Their concern is affordability of housing and displacement, and we're now in discussions with them about that.
Okay. Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item on 102 Baker Street.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Zoning Administrator Sanchez. Thank you very much for hearing me. My name is Jesse Stout. I live in 102 Baker Street with three other people in each of the other two units, so seven of us total in the four-story structure right now. And since I'm here to talk about affordable housing, I'll note that my income is below the area median income and that my entire household income is also below the area median income. I'm asking here today that you please reject this variance as proposed, or at least delay the variance proposal to give our landlord time to redo these plans without the currently proposed reduction of bedrooms in the building. This proposal, as planned in front of you, would reduce the total amount of affordable housing in San Francisco. The plans show that our unit in particular would be reduced from 4 bedrooms to 2 bedrooms. And since this is a 4-bedroom reduction of affordable housing stock, because after 2 people are kicked out, the other 2 of us will no longer be able to afford to pay double rent. In other words, all 4 of us will be forced to leave because we can't pay twice as much rent as we do now. The 4 of us will be forced out of the home and will no longer have rent control on the unit, so we'll have a 4-bedroom reduction in affordable housing stock. And even though the proposal would add a 2-bedroom unit on top of the house, that's at market rate, so it's not affordable. So this is still a 4-bedroom total reduction in affordable housing in San Francisco. And I understand that you and the Planning Commission are tasked with preserving affordable housing by the mayor and the Board of Supervisors and the voters, in particular Mayor Lee's 2013 Preservation of Rental Stock Executive Directive and the Board of Supervisors' 2012 Ordinance, the Housing Preservation Ordinance, the Codified Administrative Code 10E.4, and in particular I want to bring up the San Francisco voters, our will, approving Prop M in 1986 to preserve the cultural and economic diversity in our neighborhoods. Our lawyer has called their lawyer to schedule mediation. They have not agreed to mediate this case with us so far, which is why we're here to oppose the variance in the first place. I certainly understand that they're only here specifically today to ask for the rear yard variance that would eliminate our back deck, eliminate 2 of our bedrooms. But even though this is specifically here about the backyard, we would still lose at least 2 bedrooms and almost certainly our whole unit, since we can't afford to pay double rent when there's half as many tenants allowed to live in a unit with half as many bedrooms. So overall, since the project as proposed would reduce affordable housing and reduce economic diversity in our neighborhood, contravening the will of the voters and the mayor and the Board of Supervisors, I ask that you please reject this variance as proposed, or again, at least delay the variance, postpone your decision to give the landlord time to redo their plans for our building without a reduction of 2 bedrooms in our unit so that we could stay and keep our rent control. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So is it your understanding that the work will render the building no longer subject to rent control?
If our unit has 2 fewer bedrooms, then we'll have half as many people paying the rent, so we'll have to pay double, and then we won't be able to afford it, of course.
Okay.
And then we'll have to move out, and then with no pre-existing master tenant, we'll no longer be subject to rent control. That's correct.
But the building itself will be subject to rent control. I'm not aware of any kind of provisions that will make the building no longer subject to rent control.
Sure. I mean our unit with the current tenancy with a master tenant going back a dozen years who's been subject to rent control. So we, the current tenants, would lose our rent control. Yeah.
Okay. And as you noted, the what is before me for the variance is strictly the kind of decks and stairs at the rear. And based on the plans, I don't see how that impacts the number of units. I mean, no one is kind of living in the area of the stairs and landings, right?
Right. I bring it before you today because if you were to go forward and approve the rear yard, the stair variance, then they can go ahead with the project as proposed, which has the problem of eventually forcing us to leave.
And you've filed the discretionary review, correct?
Yes, I was involved in the discretionary review that we've yet to have any hearing day scheduled or anything, but of course, were you to reject this variance or at least delay the present variance until after that, then we would be able to have a more full discussion about the impact of the rear yard and the whole project on the affordable housing in the neighborhood.
So you understand that a variance is not an entitlement to do any construction. That's the building permit, which you filed the discretionary review on. And so even if the variance is granted today, no action can be taken until there is a discretionary review hearing at the Planning Commission or that matter is resolved in some way. So I don't see how delaying action on an otherwise supportable variance would kind of help you in any way. And certainly any decision from the variance would itself be appealable, as would the building permit itself, if the discretionary review is not taken by the Planning Commission. So just want to make sure you're kind of aware of that process and where it stands.
Yes, thanks. I do understand that this variance itself will not immediately allow them to begin the construction that I'm here to oppose, but I do also see this variance as a critical step that were they not allowed to have a variance for the back steps, they still could not go ahead and do the remodel, the unnecessary reduction in our number of bedrooms, such that were we to have a cancellation or delay of this variance, that would still meet my goals of preserving my tenancy and the affordable housing.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you as well.
Is there any public comment on this item? On other public comment on item number 4 for 102 Baker Street?
Hi, my name is Phoebe Vanderhorst, and I just came to say that I really empathize with Jesse Stout and many of us residents of San Francisco who are being eliminated because we don't have the money to stay here. And I think it's really shady the way that this whole thing is going about. It's really a way to displace the former tenants and a way to garner more income for that property. And I just find it really, really distressing, and I want to put the face of humanity on it. It's very, very difficult to live your life knowing that you're going to lose your home. And you're going to lose your home not because you did anything wrong, but because you don't make enough money to live in San Francisco anymore. So that's what I came to say.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item on 102 Baker Street?
You have 3 minutes. To...
Thank you. My name is Harmon Hanloff. I'm a resident of San Francisco. And as a resident of San Francisco, I'm aware of the housing crisis. And I think... You pointed out already that this particular variance is not... I think it's important to understand as a first step towards, I think, an outcome for, I think, the neighborhood and the city in general. That's sort of not what we're looking for. You talked earlier about the sort of desirability about eliminating parking and adding more units, and I feel like this is... The general plan here is sort of one that is counter to both those goals. On a more superficial note, because I feel like people here have pretty adequately spoken to the affordable housing aspect, I really like the backyard. I feel like the building and unit as is I think it adds to the character of the neighborhood. I think that the pictures that we saw before didn't really do justice as to the like livability and what it adds to the neighborhood. What they showed on that plan sort of replaces a side alley that provides access to the backyard, and that side alley provides storage for minimal storage to the tenants. But I think it also it makes the whole the building itself just more livable and. I mean, just, I don't know, maybe a month or two back, we had like a barbecue back there, and I was really, I just recently moved here, and I was just, I don't know, I really enjoy the current character of what it is, and I realize that might strike you as sort of a general NIMBY concern, but I think it's important to not only consider the affordable housing aspect, but really... the desirability of living there as is versus what is being proposed. So, thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this item on 102 Baker Street?
Hello, my name is Sasha Jane. I'm friends with the residents of this building, and I just wanted to express that they do very important work, civic work and advocacy work supporting the residents of this city. And it would be a shame to lose them, so I support them in rejecting this variance.
Thank you. Thank you. And any other public comment? 102 Baker. Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
Yes, I just want to stress that the granting of this variance is really not tied to the design of the units. And it's really the variance is needed in order to add the top floor unit and make it legal. Has no impact in the backyard. I think one of the speakers spoke about impact in the backyard and the side alley and storage. This project has nothing to do with this. The backyard is remaining pretty much as is. The new stair design will actually provide more light and air into the units because it's open and provide more light and air to the adjoining properties. The design, the interior design of the units can still change, and it will probably change, but it's nothing to do with this variance. Thank you.
Thank you. So just one question. If the variance is denied, does the property owner have any plans for how they would proceed?
If the variance is denied, I think the project would fold because, the property would probably still be restored, but the top unit cannot be restored, which is a problem for the owner because he would like to generate more income in exchange for the work he's doing. So I think the variance is sort of key to this process.
So if the variance is denied, the outcome would be to lose one additional unit?
Right.
Okay. Thank you. So with that, I close the public hearing. I'm generally supportive of the variance for the reason that it does lead to the addition and facilitate the addition of a dwelling unit. That said, as is fairly typical when we have DRs that are also filed on building permits associated with variances, while I may be inclined to grant the variance, I would hold any decision letter until such time that the discretionary review matters is resolved, because the project simply cannot move forward until that does happen. So with that, close the public hearing, inclined to grant the variance, but would hold any decision letter until the resolution of the discretionary review matter. Thank you.
Moving to item number 5, case number 2015-001849VAR, 2941 Broderick Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Yes, good morning. My name is Reza Ansari. I'm the co-owner of this property with my mother. And before we get into the technical aspects of the project, just wanted to give you some color on the purpose for this project. My mother is 78 years young. She's had double knee replacement surgery and doesn't have full mobility. And since the passing of my father, she's going to be moving to San Francisco from the East Coast. And that's the purpose for the purchase of this property, for her to move in to this particular unit. Thank you.
Thank you. So there are two units in the building, and sorry to clarify, do you reside in?
I do not, no. Okay. She will be residing in that first floor unit where the discrepancy is on the proposed variance.
Okay. And are these currently condos, or?
It's a two-unit building.
It's a two-unit building. So you bought both units. The upper unit is occupied. You're going to remodel the lower unit for your mother. Okay. And then the guest room that's at the bottom, the purpose of...
My sister would have to take care of her, so she could live there to potentially help take care of her. She lives with her currently right now, and my sister is on disability in the state of Maryland.
Okay, so the guest room would be solely for that lower unit?
Correct.
Okay. All right, thank you. Is there... Mr. Hacker, if you'd like to complete the time on that?
3 minutes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. I'm the architect for the project. The variance application states that it's one of a kind of case we run into all the time where somebody purchases a property and finds out only after purchase that some aspects of it were not disclosed by the seller as being not properly permitted, and so they want to, make it right. What we're proposing to do is some filling in below existing decks with no change of further extension into the rear yard at all, except for the removal of a projecting rear stair, which slightly diminishes the existing projection into the rear yard. We have had extensive back and forth with the residential design team about a stair that immediately adjoins the neighbor on one side, and have in fact modified the design, we believe, to the great benefit of everyone concerned. The special circumstances of the site that contribute to justifying a variance application is that this block, because of its relationship to a perpendicular, this lot, because of its relationship to a perpendicular lot on the next street, is extremely short, so it has a tight backyard, and the units, the upper unit especially, derives great benefit from the existing deck, which will be retained as the roof of the proposed bedroom extension, and I would see that as a significant problem to that unit if that deck is lost. That's really all I have to say about the project.
Thank you. I don't know if you could just maybe clarify the first comment that you made about someone buying a property and finding out that things were not permitted. Is that to say that they found that the deck was not permitted, or they found out that the building is non-complying because it's partially within the rear yard?
After they bought the property, they engaged me to look at some changes to it, and I did as complete a permit search as I was able to do, looking at both the microfilm records and various back volumes of the Sanborn maps. And the best I was able to come up with was ambiguous, but it appears to me that the existing decks were built at some time without a permit, although they extend rearward no farther than some work that was justified under another permit. But it's been very hard to untangle. So I would say it is fair to assume that there's a rear yard encroachment problem that the owner had no way of knowing about when he bought the property.
Okay, thank you. Any public comment on 2941 Broderick? Please step forward.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Good morning. My name is Meg Ruxton. My home is at 2717 Greenwich Street, which borders the subject property on the west side. I strongly object to the proposed building expansion plan, and I request that you deny the variance and order the applicant owner to remove the non-conforming decks and staircase that go into the rear yard. I submitted written objections with photos that I hope you've received already. There's only a small rear yard in the subject property now with two non-conforming balconies and a staircase extending into the required rear yard. This rear yard is already much smaller than any yard in the vicinity. The proposed rear addition to the subject property falls entirely within the required rear yard. The proposed building expansion would reduce the rear yard from 22 feet to 14 feet 2 inches, and the building depth would increase from 48 feet to 55 feet 6 inches. If the developer extends the first floor living space to the existing deck posts and the second floor living space to the existing deck line, the expanded building would fill up most of the lot. Furthermore, the expanded building would extend much farther out than the three adjacent buildings north of the property. Although the expanded building would not extend out as far as the building next door on the south side, the backyard for that property extends much farther west. In my opinion, the proposed expansion does not comply with the Cal Hollow Association guidelines since it extends into the rear yard space and has a negative effect on the interior block open space. Because the subject property is on a downsloping lot, the expansion results in an out-of-scale structure which makes the neighborhood appear overbuilt. My property is downslope from the subject property, so the proposed expansion has a more dramatic impact on views from my backyard and home. And if allowed, the proposed expansion would result in a monolith building that overpowers the lot, taking away valuable open space and light from neighboring properties. It does not fit in with the rest of the buildings nearby and sets a bad precedent for the neighborhood. There are many very beautiful gardens in the back of our block's homes, which I particularly enjoy viewing from my property. If we don't stop this type of expansion project, our neighborhood won't have the beautiful outdoor spaces that we all value. I personally bought my home because I love the backyard and the open feeling in the interior lots. I believe that the applicant's request for a variance would impinge on all of the neighbors' rights to this open space, and I believe it violates the code, which I think promotes having this type of open space.
Thank you. So I did see the photos, and you know, it's clear that this will have some impact on you. And as you noted, you know, the subject property is downsloping. Your lot is very much lower than the subject property. Just so I can have a better reference, you have a looks like a retaining wall and then a short fence on top of it.
Correct.
And so, what's the overall height of that? I couldn't kind of discern that from the photos.
I think it's a minimum height of maybe 6 feet or so. Okay. It's just
like 3 feet of retaining wall and a little over 3 feet of fence.
Okay. The retaining wall starts off pretty high and then gets shorter, just because my property also goes up a little bit too. But it is a minimal wall at this point.
Thank you. And when did you first reside in the property?
I believe I purchased it in about 2007, and at that time the decks already were there.
Okay.
I think they've been there for many years, and most of the neighbors purchased after those decks were put in, is my understanding.
Have you made any complaints about those decks?
I haven't until this point. I mean, I feel like this is my time to make a complaint since they've proposed this project. And so at this point, I think as a neighbor, it's my opportunity to ask that this project not be approved, and in fact that they remove the non-conforming decks and staircase.
So now you're asking for removal of the decks and stairs?
Yes.
Okay. And you know, part of the project, it seems that, you know, one of the concerns that has come up is concerns about privacy. And so you know, one of the things, if the decks are to remain as they are, and there is no expansion, I mean, what part of the proposal has an offset at that lower level, which I think, you know, was one of the concerns about people kind of looming over your property. And it's at the second floor. It is offset where they have part of it going to where the rear of the deck is now, and then part of it set back about 3 feet or so. If that addition was set back from the existing rear deck, that the proposed addition did not go all the way and there wasn't said a deck or a balcony there, would that address any of the concerns that you have?
So you're asking for a sort of a compromise? I mean, I would like to keep the building space no larger than it currently is. And I think that it's fair to ask them to remove the decks and the staircase. It still leaves a very small yard. Compared to all the lots nearby, if they just removed those decks and left the building as it is, the yard would still be much smaller than any yard in the vicinity.
Okay. I was just, you know, wondering if there were some changes that the project sponsor could make that would address your concerns, but
They've never offered to modify their plans in any way.
Okay.
So this is the first time that somebody suggested that. I just, since they never offered to make any compromises, I feel like I want to stand by my position that at this point it seems like a good opportunity to take down non-conforming decks and staircases.
Would you have any interest in having discussions with the project sponsor to discuss possible alternatives?
If that's what you think would be a good idea, I would, of course, be open to that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And any other public comment on this item? Item number 5 for 2941 Broderick Street.
I'm Nancy McAteer, and I reside in the property that is south of the proposed property changes next door to us. that property change would impact my house to the degree that they intend to build out on the south side of that property to their property line, which would be an encroachment on light and airspace next door through our second-story windows, and also include a very large firewall, which would also have to, that is an 18-foot firewall, which would also impede airflow and the bit of light that we do get. So those are my major concerns. But just on principle, I'm against the use of using an existing illegal structure to argue for the encroachment of a main building beyond the lot to impact the structure of the ratio of the established building difference between the lot size and the built proposed building. So since the staircase and the deck are not legal, and we never knew that, and I've lived in our house since 1982. We bought the house in 1982, so I think that that's something that is an overall consideration in general for this situation. Thank you.
Thank you. So just to clarify, so the firewall that's being added is to accommodate the exit stairs. That's the firewall that you were referring to?
Yes.
Okay.
Because that's they're popping due to the staircase and the structure of the new decks. They are needing to maximize on the south side of the building.
Okay. And the existing decks you state have been there since you purchased your property in
82. Yes, they have been.
Have you had any kind of issues or concerns with those existing decks?
Not particularly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
And next member of the public for Broderick Street.
Good morning. My name is David Bancroft, and I live directly across the street from the property at 2934 Broderick Street. So I can't see that backyard. So I'm here this morning in support of my neighbors and in support of the Cow Hollow Association guidelines. I'm on the board, but I'm here appearing individually. What struck me as I looked at the figures here is that as I think the letter from the Cow Association says, the properties on either side of the subject property are have backyards of about 40% of the lot. That is, they are only built to 60%. The present building here, without the decks, occupies 70% of the lot. With the decks, it occupies almost 90% of the lot, 88% to be exact. So we would be left in this instance with a 12% backyard. It's difficult to describe, but I think I can just say that the looming aspect of then building the building out to the perimeters of the decks and enclosing them would be just what I said, a truly a looming presence. I don't see one offsetting advantage to granting this variance. As I went through the, what is it, five findings, I see no exceptional or extraordinary circumstances. I see nothing that is necessary to preserve a substantial property right. I see nothing I do see something that would be materially detrimental to the public welfare and materially injurious to the adjacent properties, and that is, of course, light and air. So I would ask, I oppose the variance and hope that that is the decision that's ultimately made. Thank you.
Thank you. Just one question. When you were stating the calculations for the lot coverage, were you looking just at kind of the encroachment into the rear yard, or were you also kind of excluding, there is a a decent front setback and some side setback. Were you looking at lot coverage?
No, you're right. I was looking at the back intrusion.
Okay.
Yes, I'm sorry. Thank you.
That's right. Thank you. Any other public comment on item number 5 for Broderick Street? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
I'd just like to clarify a couple of points. Although we have been acting as if the decks are an unpermitted addition to the building, I want to emphasize that I really found no evidence one way or the other to definitively say that is the case. Second, you asked the follow-up questions I would have asked to the neighbors. Did you buy your house with these in place, and how has it been to live with them? And I think it is a real thing that people buy properties and discover problems like this, and I'm trying to find a way to address that will serve the benefit not only of the owner but not cause undue concern to the neighbors. I hope you'll consider it in that way.
Thank you. I was wondering if you could maybe detail some of the Mr. Hacker, if you could detail some of the conversations you've had with the neighbors about the project. I know the Section 311 notice has expired and there were no discretionary reviews filed on the project, but with the pre-op meeting that was held and maybe other discussions, what
yes, has been discussed? I actually hoped you wouldn't ask that question, but since you asked, I have to answer. Ms. Ruxton, first through her husband and then personally, expressed a great concern about the project, as she has amply stated at the microphone. The building is not opposite her building. It is only opposite her rear yard. And I was very concerned to know what effect it would have on the building, and in fact asked if I could view the subject property from her windows to get a direct idea of what the effect was so that I could consider alternative courses if there were any, and I was refused the opportunity to do that. I've met 3 or 4 times with both Tom and Nancy McAteer, who live to the south, and as a result of a meeting I had, my most recent meeting with them yesterday, I came away convinced that although we all agreed there was a minor but measurable effect on the firewall that protects the stair on their property, because of the changes we had made after discussion with the residential design team, I left that meeting with firm approval from both Mr. and Mrs. McAteer. Obviously, in the 24 hours since then, they've been subject to further discussion with the more concerned neighbors, and there's nothing I can do about that. But I came into this meeting believing I had support from them.
Okay. Thank you. And have you looked at any alternatives? I mean, there have been concerns raised, certainly by the downhill neighbor on Greenwich. Have you looked at any alternatives, maybe setting back that second level a little bit? It looks like you could still have a improved bedroom, but maybe you would lose a little bit of desk space on there.
I actually heard from Allie Kirby that you had made that suggestion, or that somehow that suggestion had been discussed with you. I have discussed it with the project sponsor, and he's completely open to considering that kind of thing.
Okay. Thank you. Just a very quickly, yes. Typically,
just a quick comment. I just wanted to say, when we met a couple days ago with Mr. Hacker at the McAteer's house, I asked if he had any proposed compromises, and he said, I'm not going to change it one inch. He asked to come into my home, but at the time, my husband was in the process of doing chemo. He has brain cancer, and I just didn't think it would be appropriate for him to come into my house and get my husband very upset. So I said, you could come into my backyard, and he refused to come into my backyard.
Okay. Thank you. So with that, I think we close the public hearing and like to take the matter under advisement. You know, now that we've kind of already been through some process and there's already been a lot of dialogue with the parties, but I think we could benefit by further discussions. I do believe that the lot circumstances, being a shallower than normal lot, also with a reasonably sized front setback, does give some justification for a variance at the rear. But I do also believe that there are impacts on the neighboring properties, in particular the one to the west that is downhill. And so would like the project sponsor and the neighbors to look at some possible alternatives and to discuss that with the planning staff. And so again, public hearing is closed. Matter is taken under advisement. Thank you.
Moving to item number 6, case number 2014-002944 VAR, 2246 19th Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Hello. I did a condo conversion for this unit in November 13, and when they purchased the property, they had a deck on the roof of the adjacent residence, but it is all the same building. When doing the condo conversion, they had to remove their deck in order to comply with the physical inspection report, and in agreement with the other residents to do condo conversion, they said that they could rebuild their deck. In order to have their deck, they decided to put it on their own roof, and so that is triggering the variance to have a deck to replace their old deck and increase and maintain their property value. The reason for the condo conversion in the first place was so all three residents could increase their resale value, and since then the other two residents, of which is now 681 Bruno Street, San Bruno, and 2248, they have sold their properties. And my clients would like to have their deck again.
Thank you. So that deck used to be located at the very rear of the building, with completely within the required rear yard, and now it's going to be located on the roof above the
unit. The old deck actually was on the roof of 681 San Bruno, and they were... In about 1910 or 1900, they were separate buildings. In about the 1950s, someone connected the dead space between the buildings and made it all one building. And in the 90s, there was some remodel work to the whole place, in which all three units were then sold to the current residents. Well, one of the current, and now those two of the others are now sold.
And that, what was the rear building, they're all in the same lot, though, right?
Correct, yeah. So,
okay. And it's only really most of the deck that's being proposed is within the buildable area. It's really mainly the stairs that provide access and part of the landing that are needing the variance, it seems.
Yeah, we've also already scaled back the size of the footprint through the advice of Esmeralda Jardine for the public, what was it called, the public view, public right of view or something. And so we already scaled it back 3 feet on all sides for that public point of view,
and that allows
which
you.
I almost think is a moot point, considering that the building, the historical preservation of the building, is kind of irrelevant since the original building wasn't even connected to each other, and it's completely changed its look over the last 110 years.
But at least by setting it back on the interior lot line, you don't have to do a firewall then at that point, right?
Correct. The building department told me that if the roof is a one-hour wall roof, when we re-roof it, it doesn't have to be a one-hour wall. And we also did pull it back.
Great. Okay. And you plan on doing the one-hour roof as well?
Yeah, when I put in the sleepers for the structural integrity, I have to re-roof to waterproof, and I'm going to have them do the one-hour. And then usually I think it's a three-membrane system, and each one is a one-hour.
Okay.
So,
cool. Well, thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item.
Okay.
Any public comment on item number 6 for 2246 19th Street? Seeing no public comment, we close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that it provides usable open space for this unit, replaces previous usable open space, and is overall more code compliant than the previous location. But we can move on to the next item.
Item number seven, case number 2015-005658 VAR, 1448 Valencia Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, please. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Mr. Zoning Administrator, thank you for hearing our proposal today. My name is Phil Rossington, Principal of Rossington Architecture. The proposal that's on the table today is for an encroachment into the required rear yard at 1448 Valencia. The current building, similar to others on the block, enjoys full lot coverage and fronts on both Valencia Street as well as onto Poplar Alley at the back. We're proposing a third floor addition, part of which will encroach into the required rear yard open space. Code section 134 calls for rear yard equal to 22 feet 6 inches, while we're proposing a 15-foot setback from Poplar Alley on that third floor addition. This will provide much needed usable outdoor space for a unit that currently has none. And by doing so, we're respecting the scale of the alley and relieving it of a potentially imposing addition. The reason for this encroachment is twofold. First, this is an unusually narrow lot at only 20 feet wide, resulting in a much smaller footprint than a standard lot and creating layout issues not seen in a 25-foot wide typical property. Secondly, we're respecting our neighbor's light wells to the north. These light wells, along with the narrow lot width, essentially dictate where rooms can be placed, making reasonably sized rooms in a meaningful layout a difficulty not seen elsewhere. Every property but two along this block enjoy full lot coverage, many of which are three or four stories tall. Our proposal attempts to respect the life along the alley by keeping the rear wall at two stories and setting our third floor addition back by the 15 feet, as noted. This will allow the owners to use a property as others in the neighborhood and throughout the city are afforded without drastically affecting neighboring properties. The portion of the project that is being discussed today does not directly affect light or air to either of our adjacent neighbors, and in this we feel we're in harmony with the general plan without detrimentally affecting the public welfare. We also have letters of support from business owner and the owner of the property directly to the south of the subject property, which we can submit for the records. Thank you.
Thank you. So it's my understanding the building was fire damaged several years ago, and that the permit to reconstruct has already been approved. Work is underway.
Correct. Work is underway for the two stories as built.
And then this is the additional story. I think there was also a complaint about a concern that vinyl siding was added to the building, and some staff investigated, found that it was aluminum siding that had been painted.
No idea where that came from. There was never vinyl siding. It's aluminum now. Aluminum windows, those are all being replaced with wood windows and horizontal wood siding, painted wood siding. So, and obviously we're happy to note that as needed.
I just was confused because it sounded like staff reported that what actually happened was that aluminum siding had been painted, and I was wondering why.
It looked like has been painted. Yeah.
Oh, okay. but it wasn't painted. There was no. I'm just wondering why anyone would paint siding.
I'm not sure if it's been painted, to be honest with you, but it's in. It's all coming down anyway. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. All right. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item. We're on item number 7 for 1448 Valencia Street. Seeing no public comment, being inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the front setback that is provided here, as well as the lot size, which is definitely creating a hardship on the property. And with that, we can move on to the next item.
Item number 8, case number 2015-003006, VAR, 158 Buchanan Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Jeff Gustafson. I'm the applicant and designer of this project. I don't believe we have any objections to this, and we have quite a few letters of support. I'm just going to read my submittal response to the five findings, as I believe that.
That'd be great.
Explains it well. We're proposing a 32.5 square foot infill single-story addition to the rear of an existing single-family residence. The existing rear setback has not changed. Finding one, this 100-year-old residence has an existing rear setback of 15 foot 7 inches that exceeds the typical rear setback of 15 feet of a residence in an RH1 zoning district. In January of 1991, Bernal Heights Special Use District was adopted, and this existing residence as a result is now encroaching 3 foot 8 inches into the increased rear setback requirement of 19 foot 3 inches. Many neighboring residences, including the adjacent property at 162 Bocana, have rear setbacks that encroach even more than the subject property. This minimal proposed infill of 32.5 square feet would fill an area that is now a deck landing and would not extend beyond the existing rear setback of the residence. This existing configuration of jog walls blocks views of the rear yard, garden, open space, and minimizes the natural light to the existing kitchen and eating area. This property is also unusual in that there are two existing jogs of the house rear perimeter, and this small addition would fill only the smaller of the existing jogs, retaining the entire existing rear yard open space of 469.5 square feet. The literal enforcement of the Bernal Heights rear yard setback would restrict the owners of the subject property from improving the existing awkward and small jog space into a more user-friendly space with better circulation, egress, and natural light. This variance, allowing an infill addition, would result in a more uniform rear house perimeter that would be more typical of the houses in this neighborhood and would still preserve a rear yard setback that is consistent with or greater than most neighboring houses. And note, as you have seen on the plan, that the adjacent house to the south, this residence exceeds 1 foot 6 inches farther into the rear yard setback than the existing subject property and the proposed addition. In 1997, 5 years after the adoption of the Bernal Heights Special Use District, 162 Bocana Street was granted a variance to build a fully enclosed rear yard deck that extends to both side yard and the rear property line. This enclosed deck is, the minimum height of it is 9 feet at the walking surface and 12 foot 6 minimum at the perimeter, and has the bulk and mass of a single-story structure that entirely fills the backyard of this property. The granting of this variance will have no negative impacts on the subject property or neighboring properties. The infill nature of this small addition will not impact natural light, views, or privacy of any adjacent or neighboring properties. And the fifth finding is evident the general intent and purpose of the Bernal Heights Special Use District Code, which is to preserve existing neighborhood of modest-sized homes and rear-yard open spaces. The granting of this variance will not compromise either of these intentions as illustrated in the findings above.
All right. Thank you for the very thorough findings.
All right.
So any public comment on this item? And we're on item number 8 for 158 Bocana Street. Seeing none, the public hearing is closed. Be inclined to grant the requested variance for what is, I think, a very modest addition to improve the usability of the kitchen. As the project sponsor noted, there is kind of this stepping back into the rear yards. The adjacent property to the north is about a foot or so shallower than this proposal, and then the one to the south is about a foot and a half deeper. And also we have a very substandard lot dimensions with only 55 feet deep. So with that, inclined to grant, public hearing is closed, and we can move on to the next item.
Moving to item number 9, case number 2014-001524 VAR. 2200 Lyon Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor? You have 5 minutes.
I have posting information.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Mike Larkin, and I'm the architect and applicant for this roof deck proposal. 2200 Lyon Street is a single-family house, nearly 100 years old, and it occupies an uncharacteristically small lot for the neighborhood. It's quite narrow, viewed from Jackson Street. It's about 17 feet wide and almost appears like a townhouse rather than a single-family house. And then in the perpendicular direction along Lyon, the lot is only 50 feet long. So the resulting area is just a slightly below 1,000 square feet for the total lot. So less than half the size of normal city lot. And then when we compare it to the properties on the block, the contrast is even more dramatic. Most of the lots are about 125 feet deep and have quite wide street frontages, 30 feet, even 50 feet. So our proposal is to create some usable open space for the house. Presently, there is none. There's only a very small light well at the back of the property. And we'd like to create some positive usable open space. So we're proposing to use the flat roof of the house to create a stair, because there is no access presently. We've made the stair as compact as we can. It's just a roughly a 6x6 enclosure, and we've kept the height down as low as possible, so there's a flat roof just set above the door height. In consultation with our planner, we implemented the setbacks from Jackson Street and Lyon Street, and at the rear also, and have made the guardrails as transparent as we could. They're as low as possible with the building code, which is 42 inches high. So in general, we're just proposing to create this usable open space, and we believe not creating any detrimental effect to the neighborhood. So thank you.
Thank you. That made it very clear that you have a constrained situation with the lot size and shape, and also the neighbor's light well, wanting to respect that, not block that with the stair penthouse. And is there any way, and I'm assuming the answer is no, of doing a hatch in combination with a spiral when you're that close to a side property line? Is that something that you've even...
It was brought up early in the project, but we just believed... we were going to so much effort to create the roof deck. We've actually got to reframe the whole roof structure to be a roof deck, that we didn't think it would really be used very much with a hatch arrangement. It just seemed too awkward.
Okay.
Just given the investment to create it.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So is there any public comment on this item, on item number 9 for 2200 Lyon Street? Seeing none, close the public hearing. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, knowing again the lot size and shape, as well as the constraint placed by trying to respect the neighbor's light well. And with that, we can move on to, item number 10 was heard on consent, and we can move on to item number 11.
Item number 11, case number 2014-000946-VAR, 653 Bay Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor?
Thank you.
Good morning, Zoning Administrator Scott Sanchez. I'm Toby Morris of Kerman Morris Architects on behalf of Mr. Richard Thomas, project sponsor for the additions and alterations, and specifically the rear yard variance request for this project. 653 to 667 Bay Street is an existing 8-unit Victorian structure on an RH3 40X zoning district consisting of 4 flats on the first and 4 flats on the second floors. In the early 1990s, applications were made and building permits for the rear yard variance were secured to expand the top floor units into the attic level and revise the rear stairs. These stairs required a rear yard variance and provided a second means of egress from the structure leading to Leavenworth. While the construction was commenced, life events interceded and the improvements were abandoned. The structure has sat vacant for over 15 years. The variance proposal before you is to seek relief to Section 134C, the required rear yard. The 45% rear yard requirement was reduced to 25% of the lot depth, or 19 feet 7 inches in this case, by averaging. The existing structure already encroaches on the required yard by about 11 feet 4 inches. This variance request would do three things for the project. First, it would allow the reapproval of the formerly secured rear yard variance, enabling us to install a rear stair for life safety and resident access to the rear yard and to Leavenworth Street. Second, it would enable us to remove the existing pitched roofs and develop a more functional space at the current attic level. While minimally expanding the building envelope within the required rear yard. Again, it's just a vertical expansion at this point. Finally, the flat roof would enable functional private open space for 4 of the dwelling units in the form of roof decks. This open space doesn't exist under current circumstances. Hardships and exceptional circumstances, findings 1 and 2. The building sits on a substandard lot of 78 feet and is a potential historic resource, a Victorian dating from the turn of the century. Due to its standing, we've worked closely with the planning and preservation staff to craft renovations that can be checklisted. Hence, we're proposing setting back our top roof expansion about 11 feet 3 from the face of the building, or almost 20 feet back from the front property line, in order to minimize the visibility of the attic level expansion from the public way. Property rights possessed by others in the same class of district, finding number 3. Other homes in the district, namely a western abutting neighbor at 2550 Leavenworth, have no front setback and a similarly small rear yard, allowing for greater lot coverage than the subject property. Finding 4, neighborhood outreach and the public welfare and private property rights. The proposed expansions will not be detrimental to the public welfare or injurious to any private property interests. The additions are located at the rear of the lot and are not visible from the public way. The vertical expansion of the rear does not move the building further into the rear yard, and the proposed rear open-air stairs will improve life safety and are not visible to our neighbors. Nonetheless, neighborhood outreach did identify concerns of our southern abutting neighbor, Ms. Penelope Clark, who resides at 2544 Leavenworth. Based on multiple meetings and conversations with Ms. Clark, in which she expressed her concerns to her privacy and the potential noise from the roof decks, the plans were revised from those noticed. Moving the southernmost roof decks further to the north, eliminating the stair penthouses with roof hatches now, and moving or removing some of the windows on the rear wall of the subject property to avoid potential privacy concerns identified by Ms. Clark. Finally, the project sponsor has agreed not to seek any further expansions of his roof decks any closer to Ms. Clark's property. And this is in a letter written to her and CC'd to you. So in closing, and in terms of finding number five, these improvements and the variance requested are in keeping with the general plan, which allow for the improvement of the property. We understand the variance is asking for something special beyond the letter of the code. We feel it's justified, and we've taken appropriate measures with the neighbors. We hope you will approve the variance. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item, on item number 11 for 653 Bay Street? Yeah.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Sorry. My name is Penelope Clark. I'm the neighbor, and I've been working closely with Toby about on the plans, and basically as you can see, I have a section and another that shows you how close the original proposed decks were to my bedroom windows. And then he took that deck and moved it forward, which I very much appreciate. However, with something that I really, because this time frame has been so short, I haven't really had a chance to do a lot of thinking about it. And I have one other suggestion, which perhaps if I can't get a special condition that would be on the property to make sure that at some later date a deck didn't reappear in the back, and that was to put a very shallow pitched roof on that roof area in the back. And I haven't, the project sponsor hasn't really had a chance to see this. It came to me this morning, but it would be something because the basic interior structure addition and the back stairs do not seriously affect me, but the potential for the deck and loss of privacy and that feeling of just noise right in one's face is a special concern for me, so that I realize it'll take that Toby hasn't had a chance to talk to Mr. Thomas about it, but it is something that I think would help allay my fears of some changes in the plans at some other date, and that, so I would hope that everyone would be receptive to my suggestion. I realize the whole business of the 311 notice ending at one time in this short period for the variance has left me very little time to really think about the project, but this is how I would hope that something could be worked out.
Okay. Thank you. Well, surely we can ask the project sponsor to look into that.
Yeah, because hopefully this will not be decided before the 311 hearing. Okay. I mean, I think we can all work this out, but...
Yeah, certainly the 311 notice expires on September 6th, so you'd have until mm-hmm. that date to file a discretionary review. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and we can ask the project sponsor to confirm that the plans on file with the building permit have been mm-hmm. updated, as well as the plans for the variance, and we can ask mm-hmm. them to address that when we come up for rebuttal.
Okay, I just I assume the city still isn't willing to do any special conditions on the thing, but
I appreciate your concerns about the roof deck. However, you know, at this point, the proposed roof deck is not in the rear yard, which is mm-hmm. subject to the mm-hmm. variance.
Well, at this point,
yeah.
But that flat roof. It's sort of tempting for people to expand, if you understand.
I could certainly consider adding a condition that the no deck shall be allowed at the roof within the required rear yard.
Mm-hmm. He's actually moved it back further,
right.
Which I appreciate very much. But then again, he has this whole building envelope to work with, and I'm agreeable to that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item around Bay Street? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal. Maybe if you don't have anything to add, maybe just a couple questions for you.
I think the project sponsor just wants some time to think about this proposal. We do feel that we've done pretty much everything we can, and it is, as you say, well outside of the rear yard. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so with that, I close the public hearing. Be inclined to grant the requested rear yard variance. I would be comfortable adding a condition that there be no deck within the required rear yard. That may not address kind of the full concerns of the neighbor, because as it's been proposed, the deck is set back further, but I don't feel it's kind of necessary to restrict it completely to its current footprint. But any changes, any deviations from the alternative that they have proposed as a compromise would require a new building permit to do that. And just to confirm that the revision has been submitted as part of the building permit set at this point?
Yes.
Okay.
I will submit more revisions. Let's see. No, I think you have everything there. Yeah.
Okay. So the project has been revised. The plans are being approved based upon what is before me with the revised plans that reflect the compromise agreement on the roof deck and the hatches. And I'm comfortable imposing a condition that there be no roof deck within the required rear yard area. So with that, public hearing is closed, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 12, case number 2014-0922V, number 2, Byron Court, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor here. We have 5 minutes.
Morning, Mr. Sanchez, John O'Rourke, project sponsor. I think the reason is because we have an odd-shaped lot here, and the rear yard is going to be to the side. But I think it meets all the requirements.
Okay, thank you.
That's it.
All right, well, I think it's pretty clear. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item for item number 12 for 2 Byron Court. Any public comment on this item? Seeing none, public hearing is closed. As so succinctly noted by the project sponsor, the lot is a very odd-shaped lot, and they are essentially providing the rear yard to the side of the property, given its kind of unique location. So, yes, sir.
I received a letter from the plan for the one, but I want to see how many stories the level for the new construction.
So they're proposing a single-family dwelling that is 2 stories with an overall building height of 20 feet 6 inches to the roof, based upon the plans that we have in our file.
It's 2 stories?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Good thing.
I can show them.
That would be great, yeah.
1 story over garage.
Great. Thank you. So with that, again, the public hearing is closed. Inclined to grant the requested variance, we can move on to the next item.
Moving to item number 13, case number 2015-003228VAR, 879 Sanchez Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Hello, my name is Eric Staten, the architect for the project. Project sponsor Andy Parrott is here. We're requesting a variance to replace an existing non-conforming deck and re-roof the existing non-conforming bay addition at the back of the house. The current deck was built, as far as we can tell, without permits. This was not disclosed to the project sponsor when he bought the property. The current deck has some structural damage and is structurally deficient, does not meet code. We proposed, it also has a large, basically a walled and roofed enclosure over it. So as you can see here in these photographs here, this is part of that's the existing roofed enclosure. And this is the existing wall enclosure around the deck. It's like a 70s sort of hot tub palace back there. We want to take it out. We'd like to replace the deck with a deck that's basically the same size but without the enclosed walls. We would also like to build a fence around the rear, the north and east property lines. The fence at the east property line at the south side of the property would be 14 feet high. That's to bring it up to the so that it will be visible from the main leveling level of the house. So this here, right here, this part of the fence is the portion that we're proposing to make 14 feet high. The idea is that that will create a screen and a place to plant a vertical planting wall that's visible from the main living area of the house. This abuts the sidewall of the property behind us. That's a large, you know, you can see that that's the building behind us. There's no openings or windows on that side at all, but it does have some utility piping and so forth, which we'd like to cover. This screen wall will be built 6 inches away from the house next door, and the screens are removable to give access in case they ever need to do any kind of maintenance. We think we meet all of the priority planning requirements for a variance. I can go into those if you'd like, but I think it's pretty straightforward. I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you, Mr. Sanchez.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item for Lucky 13 at 879 Sanchez Street? Mr. Karnilowicz, do you have some public comment?
Good morning, Z.A. Sanchez. This is a great project. As we know, we're all very concerned about safety. And by doing this project, it's going to bring this change to a much safer condition. Also, it's a quality of life. This is two issues. And talking about those panels on the side, it's going to add some attractiveness to the property. So I think it's a really good project. I really would urge you to approve it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this item for item number 13?
I should mention I have a signed statement of support from two of the adjacent neighbors that if you'd like, I can give that to you.
That'd be great. Have you already provided that to staff?
Yeah, the case planner has that.
Great, we have that. Thank you. Is there, seeing probably no other public comment for 879 Sanchez, we'd close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting it's improving upon the existing condition and also the lot size and the kind of sloping nature of the lot justify the granting of this variance. We can move on to the next item.
Item number 14, case number 2015-001304-VAR, 59-61 Douglas Street, rear yard and exposure variance as sought.
Hi, good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Andrew Lee, and I'm the architect working with the owners of the subject property, and they're all here in attendance with me this morning. We're seeking a variance from provisions of the planning code to allow the owners to remove an existing rear yard two-story deck that's been in place for many years and replace it with a new deck of similar extent and design. The existing deck features stairs that do not meet current building code standards and is also showing signs of extensive deterioration. As outlined in our variance request, there are actually two buildings on the subject property, number 59 and 61, which is here at the street frontage of Douglas Street on the western portion of the lot, and number 57, which is a one-unit property at the rear of the lot, at the eastern end of the lot. Both structures have been in their current location at least since 1938. This is a view of the street frontage of 5961. This is looking east, standing on Douglas Street at the front building on the lot. This is a photograph of the second unit in the back of the lot, the eastern portion of the lot, number 57. And just a couple representative photos of the existing deck. That's obviously where the deck meets the ground for the front unit, number 5961. And a photograph taken on the lower level of the two-level deck. So based on the dimensions of the lot, and the distance between the two buildings, the property currently does not conform to rear yard and open space requirements in sections 134 and 135, and the section 140 requirement that at least every one room in every unit face an open area of minimum dimensions. And I'm sure you have this in front of you, Mr. Sanchez, but I just have the sheet of plans. Hopefully what is conveyed in the drawings is a proposal that will be a substantial improvement in safety and earthquake resistance, creates useful space, and of course I'm the designer, so I'm biased, but I believe it'll be an attractive improvement to the property. For the reasons stated in our application, we believe granting the variance is consistent with the required findings in the planning code and the general plan. Literal enforcement of the code, given the location of the structures on the lot, would not only prevent the proposed decks from being built, it would prevent any structure, even a minimal landing and stair, from being built, and also would require rear-facing doors to the exterior spaces to be completely removed and replaced with windows or filled in. While the proposed decks do propose extending about 2 feet, 2 inches farther eastwards, they are also farther from the southerly property line, which is required by fire separation provisions of the code. But they're also a neighborly change in terms of providing more access to light, air, space. And perhaps most importantly, the owners merely seek to continue the enjoyment of private outdoor space immediately accessible from their units, which is, as everybody in San Francisco knows, is a substantial amenity in a dense city with a mild climate. And I just want to end by kind of emphasizing that the request is essentially seeking to continue conditions that have existed for many years on this property in a substantially the same way without complaint.
Thank you. So just to clarify, so the existing configuration, which does have the stairs down to the rear yard.
Correct.
They will have the usable open space provided by these decks, as well as still have access to the rear yard in between the two buildings through the ground floor storage area? Is that
right? No. So we're removing the stairs from the deck configuration. I believe it's the case that access to the central courtyard would be through the front stair and then through the typical San Francisco narrow, below unit passageway.
So there's no way to access it from within the building?
Correct. Okay. And the owners can correct me if I'm incorrect about that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And any public comment on this item for item number 1459 to 61 Douglas Street? Seeing none. Oh.
You have 3 minutes.
Hi, my name is Olaf Hansen. I'm a neighbor, co-owner of 5153 Douglas Street. I'm not objecting to this new deck. I think it's an improvement to what I look at. The only question I had listening to your definition of granting a variance. I'm sort of in a public setting curious to hear what the exceptional circumstances are for enlarging the deck. Does it create a hardship having the smaller one with the stairs versus the newer ones? Is there sort of a impact on, I guess there's an impact on the property value because it's going to be nicer, so it'll be actually an improvement. And I also think it sort of improves towards the harmony of the neighborhood.
I think it's a minor kind of increase of the encroachment, but also one of the reasons that it even requires a variance in the first place is because the fact that there are the two buildings on the lot. And so also by there have the existing stairs, which if they were to be rebuilt would also require a very large firewall. So setting it in and kind of having it go a little bit further to the rear, it seems like in my mind a kind of a very reasonable modest change. There is appear to be a large redwood tree out there, which is not showing as any changes being made to it. So that would have been a concern if they were going to cut down the redwood tree.
Yeah.
So they'll.
I agree. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed. Be inclined to grant the requested variance for the reasons stated, and we can move on to the last item.
Last item, number 15, case number 2015-001587VAR, 34 Baltimore Way, rear yard variance sought. Is the project sponsor here? Project sponsor for 34 Baltimore Way.
It happens once a hearing, usually.
Okay.
Thank you.
It's a no show.
I believe someone forgot his jacket here.
Oh, okay. That'd be great. We can leave it with people downstairs. Thanks. Thank you.
Mm. Item number 15 is a no-show.
Let's see what the notes are.
Are we taking lunch?
No. Are you
from 34 Baltimore?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. Well, you're just in time. We're almost going to go
we're
away.
We're about to close this case. Oh, no. Please approach the mic and do your presentation.
Wow, that was fast. Okay. Hello.
So just your opportunity, you have 5 minutes to present kind of your reasoning for why the variance should be granted.
Okay. Let's see. I think that, I bought the house. The deck was already existing. I believe the deck has been in place for over 20 years with no neighbor complaints. The structure is sound. There are some maintenance issues that need to be addressed with the stairs because they are exposed to the weather and the conditions. So those I've already modified as far as just keeping them sound and safe. But I would like to do a permanent maintenance overhaul to the stairs. But the deck itself is in really, really good condition. I don't think that any of the neighbors are affected by it. It does extend further than the percentage allowed, but I still believe there's 18 feet of usable backyard space, and it's a second story deck, so it's not as though people in their yard are really affected by the deck. It doesn't push out on the lower level. I think that's kind of all I have.
Okay, thank you. What year did you buy the property?
I bought it in August of 2013.
Okay, and you weren't made aware of the violation at that time?
I knew that, there are tenants in there now, they were in the process of trying to evict the tenants when I bought the house. So at the time, the tenants had said that the deck was illegal. I wasn't 100% sure. I had kind of went and did what the previous architect had done. I'd went down to DBI. I'd looked at all their records, and they don't show that it was existing or not existing. Since speaking to DBI, it seems as though it was built without a permit.
It looks like the notice of violation dates from 2011, so...
So that's when the previous owner was trying to evict the tenants.
And they may have made a complaint, too.
They did. They called and they complained about an illegal bathroom and an illegal deck. And then later, when I took over ownership and removed the illegal bathroom, said that they never complained about it either. But I have the NOV showing the complaint was a call-in in the tenant's name.
And... Are you going to occupy the property, or...?
I just signed a settlement agreement where I'm letting them stay until June 26th, rent-free.
June 26th?
Of 16.
Next year. Okay.
Just because it was easier than going to trial, and then they were going to appeal and hold me up in the superior courts. It's just a nightmare.
And then you intend to occupy the property?
I intend to occupy it with my two kids.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Seeing that there could possibly be no public comment on this item because there's no one in the audience, item number 15, we close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that it has been in place for quite some time without any apparent adverse impact, and this will be correcting that violation. It provides usable open space from the main living level, and with that, general public comment, but I think there's probably no general public comment because there's no general public here. we can close the public hearing and we'll reconvene on September 23rd, 2015. Thank you.
Okay, so we reconvene, and is my